This is Just Talking It Up with Janet and Crash.
Welcome back. You're listening to Just Talking It Up. I'm so glad you're here with us. I'm Janet, and I'm here with my buddy Crash, and we are cowering behind fences and boxes and anything that we can find to protect ourselves. Do you feel safe, Crash?
You know, it's interesting. I guess on a micro basis, I feel safe. On a macro basis, I don't. Because I don't think we fully understand just how pervasive this problem is that we face.
Wow, that you make it sound so much more ominous than I really meant it. I was just kind of poking fun. You really think we're under a big threat?
Well, I think that we're under. Yes, I do. I think that we're under significant number of small threats, which total a big threat. And I guess it's like surgery. You know, surgery is minor surgery if it's on somebody else. It's major surgery if it's on you. So the Boston thing, we can be detached to some degree from what happened in Boston. And the things that attach to that maybe are an 8-year-old child, and I have an 8-year-old grandson and daughter, a location, something kind of brings it close to home. Maybe the bombing in, I guess it was North Carolina when Hassan did what he did. You're detached from that, but you're probably brought into it by the number of people that were affected. But the more of these that you have, the more you realize that this is probably a pervasive issue. There are countless thousands and millions of people around this globe who hate us. Here are two guys in Boston who were brought into this country, became citizens. So they lied. I guess the younger one is a citizen. Were they both citizens? I don't even know. But they lied to take that oath of citizenship. And then everything they did after that was subversive to the United States. So you think about that and you realize that this is probably a microcosm of what's going on around the world and in many, many places on college campuses and near mosques. So let's face this. This is a Muslim jihadist issue. You can say all you want to about the Muslim religion being a peaceful religion at its core. And if you believe what the Quran says, it is not a peaceful religion. And what we're seeing is that we're also seeing people who hate the United States, maybe because of the United States' success. I have no idea what that is. But yes, I do think it's a pervasive problem that we face. The secondary part of that is also the way that our government treats it. They're doing everything they can to minimize and downplay it. And that's a very terrifying situation.
Well, but it sounds like you're playing both sides against the middle. Are you afraid of terrorism, or are you afraid of let me go back. How do you think this is going to change the way you behave in your normal life?
Well, I'm not sure what it will change in terms of my life. I used to travel 150,000 miles a year by airplane. I don't travel that much anymore. Now, the other people in my company and my two sons travel that much each. That bothers me. The place where that bomb went off in Boston, I have gotten out of a taxi cab in front of that place where the bomb went off numerous times. Where that bomb went off, you cross over right in front of a church. There's a little island, and then you cross over to the hotel. I've done that many, many times. And so if I was going back to Boston today, I think that I would probably be more nervous, or New York or Chicago. But I think that what's probably happening with this jihadist terrorism, it's gone from the World Trade Center to the finish line to the Boston Marathon. Who's to say it's not going to come to Birmingham or Fayetteville, Georgia, and be on the town square or at somebody's house next door?
So you're thinking that we're the new Israel?
I hadn't thought about that, but you know, that's probably not far off. Hmm. That's probably not far off.
So you think people ought to feel nervous getting on buses and going into crowded shopping areas and school events, things like that?
Well, I think that that's probably where we're headed. And if you want to compare us with Israel, look at the way that the Israelis do checks of airplane flights, for example. They don't start by checking you through with a scanner or making you take your shoes off. They go after you when you're coming into the airport.
Don't you think this means that the terrorist threat has won? But because now we need to be nervous doing just our everyday things, getting on the bus and going to the grocery store and
tell me what the alternative is. What's the alternative?
Well, the alternative is being a normal American and believing in our country and pushing forward.
Well, all that's well and good. Apple pie, Chevrolet, all those things. That sounds very good. But the truth is, that's not reality today. Let's go back, for example.
Have you ever been within 5 miles of a bombing or any kind of an event? And you live in a very populated area. Mm-hmm. There are, I would say, hundreds of thousands of people.
The answer to that is yes.
You have?
Yes.
What happened?
I was within that distance of the bombing at Central Park in Atlanta when Richard Jewell.
Now you just said Richard Jewell and he was innocent.
But here's the point, because you were going to ask that, I'm sure, about what do you do about people who, you know, do you go after them the same way they went after these people in Boston? They put those pictures up. They were not convicted. They were not even accused of felonies at that point. They were suspects. And then when they put their pictures up, those suspects very, very rapidly showed their hand. One person lost his life, but they ended up catching them. But I think without that, they may not have ever caught them. Now, let's go back to
Before we go back to Richard Jewell and about putting people's, and they have, you're correct, they put these guys' faces out there. At first it was they were people of interest, and then immediately switched over to suspects. So I don't know what that means for local government or national government. I don't know if they've now become a federal threat, and that's why they can just say whatever they want to and just get the faces out there and let's find them. But I want to know about the stuff that we're being diverted from. I want to know about the Saudi that was originally held as a victim in the hospital. Then he was called a suspect, and then he became a nobody. And then we heard rumors that he was going to be deported, and Janet Napolitano won't even answer questions about it. And I want to know about that guy. Because that guy was on lists, and so was one of the bombers that lost his life, the one that they say actually did this or was part of it. I want to know about all these guys that they're looking at. The Saudi that they held in the hospital that was supposedly under in custody and under watch in the hospital was supposed to be a student in Ohio. He had been for 6 months living in an apartment in Massachusetts. How do you figure that? And why is he no longer connected at all?
Well, do we know that he's no longer connected? Because they did say on the news that he was not connected. But now I think we've got two or three things here that are overlapping. Let's talk about the Jewel Eric Rudolph situation. Then let's talk about the Saudi. But let me go back and ask you another question. You were saying that we ought to go ahead and live our lives. When I was 11 years old, I was allowed to take a train overnight from Knoxville, Tennessee to Cincinnati, Ohio. My father worked for the railroad. I could go on Friday night. I would then walk 3.5 miles from the train station to Crosley Field in Cincinnati, watch a baseball game, walk the 3.5 miles back to the station there, take the train and come back to Knoxville and be there in time for church on Sunday morning. Now, I was 11 years old. We have adjacent condos in Florida, my son and I. And when his kids go from the third floor to the fifth floor, we call to make sure that they got the two floors on the elevator. Things have changed in this world in the way that we have to look at this kind of terroristic situation. We are just not, it is not the father knows best world that we live in anymore. I think we have to be tremendously more vigilant in the way that we look at things. Do you look around more often when you're in crowds? Do you try to profile? You know, profiling, the Israelis profile all the time. That's the way they stop these things.
Sure.
And our government, you know, you come back to Napolitano and this Saudi and what we're doing, we're trying our best to keep them from being prosecuted. And I believe that it's has to do with the Muslim issue. They just want this tolerance issue. And we can't say that this is the way they think, and not all of them think this way. It's a beautiful, sweet, live, great religion. But we're not looking at the reality of what that religion says. And so am I more concerned today? Absolutely. And it's not just because of the terrorists. It's because of the way our government is dealing with this. And so for both those reasons, I'm very concerned.
Well, I think we all are more aware just as the world has changed. We've got more information. We know more about the bad things that people have done. And so we do watch our kids. We want to make sure that they get where they're going. We want to know where they are, when they're there, who they're with, that kind of stuff. But to stop me from my regular life, to stop me from going on vacation to a national monument, to stop me from visiting wherever I'm going to go, I boldly will go there. Now, I'm going to look at my surroundings and make sure I'm not doing something stupid. But it just lets them win if I tell my kids, no, you're not going to go. You can't go to the shopping mall. No, we're not going to go there until all the threats are done. Because frankly, when the threats are done, they're not done. They're never going to be done. You can be killed slipping on a banana peel. So are we going to pull the banana peels off the market? Accidents happen. Bad things happen. Bad people do bad things. And it is true that our government has loosened the belt. And frankly, when we should have been tightening it back in 2001, it has gotten even looser because they are afraid of overkill and that we will be going the opposite direction. It's ridiculous how many people are here and why they're here. You walk in any gas station, any 7-Eleven, even anywhere, and 9 times out of 10, maybe not that much, okay, 8 times out of 10, you're going to find some person that you're wondering where they've come from. That doesn't look like the guy I grew up with in Coleman. You know, they don't look the same. They don't sound the same. I was in Nashville this weekend, and everybody that was there as a tourist or as a visitor, they all looked and sounded, you know, just like me and my neighbors and, you know, the people that I grew up seeing. But every time you walked into a business or you walked into a shop of some kind, a gas station or anything else, a restaurant, there were faces that were totally unfamiliar, features that you know are of Arabic or Indian or Oriental or some other descent, which is great. We are a melting pot. But why are they here? How did they get here? Are they illegal? And you can't ask everybody, are you here legally? I mean, I wonder what the percentage is on how many people are here or in the place that they said they were coming for, doing the things that they said they were coming to do. I mean, this one Saudi who's supposed to be in Ohio as a student, obviously, isn't there, but he was off the radar completely until he got hurt in the bombing.
Two things here. Number one, you say that you want to go about life the way that it used to be, but you then begin to talk about being in a restaurant or wherever, and you're seeing people that are different, and all of a sudden you're thinking about that. So this is a matter of degree.
Right.
You're not as safe and happy as you were 20 years ago. Or oblivious to what's going on.
I think I'm just as safe and just as happy, but I am not as oblivious. I think
statistically you're not as safe. I mean, you have to say statistically you're not. Now you're safer maybe because your car is safer, because there are greater drugs that can prevent certain things and deal with certain things when you get it. But when it comes to terrorism and the possibility of being affected by that, statistically, you're not as safe as you were. And so it's a matter of degree. Maybe you're 1% or 2% less safe because you live in Birmingham in a certain area. But if you look at, I go back to the street where I lived when I was a young boy. It was a father's knows best, leave it to Beaver neighborhood. Played outside. I mean, I could go through all the things that would make you know that it was a father knows best, leave it to Beaver neighborhood. But I just saw on one of these expose shows, Confidential ID or Murder and whatever, that there was a young girl and a young boy, 23 years old. They was abducted by a man who cut their body into parts and stuffed it into an oil drum. That was a block and a half from where I was raised. So that neighborhood, you can't drive through there at 40 miles an hour without having your hubcap stolen. So, you know, it's different. Things have changed. That area has changed. And I think that this is the case throughout the world. It just may not have come home to roost to us. God forbid that it ever would. But I think that the threat that we face today is significantly more stronger than ever before. And if you believe in the second law of thermodynamics, which is part of the apologetic for the Christian faith, I know that sounds kind of obtuse, but it is so true.
I'm trying to follow. Wait a minute, back up a little bit because I'm okay. Slow. Talk to me like I'm four.
Well, the second law of thermodynamics indicates that things degrade over time. And if you take a banana off the stalk and you see exactly what happens to it, it does degrade and it'll eventually go away. And we are not getting better as a people because sin is significantly more pervasive than ever before. And so this is what's happening to our society. And the more we try to pull our society up by our bootstraps to say that, you know, I made it, we made it, we can make ourselves better. No. Only God can make us better. And the further we get away from faith in Christ and God, the more degraded our population is and the less safe we are in our world.
So how do you think we should, what are we going to do differently now? How do you think children coming up now, how do you think they prepare for this? We're living in fear.
Well, I think we need to live in realism of what we face.
It's like this to me. It's like we're becoming hypochondriacs. You know, someone who hears or thinks about symptoms, or they get a sharp pain in their knee, and then all of a sudden they decide it's bone cancer, and they're just mortified by it, and then something else will happen to them, and they think some other giant looming disease is there. If we live our lives in fear of what might happen or what could happen, of course, being safe and being smart and being, you know, just normal, using normal caution. But if we live our lives in such fear, we will never make an impact. Would fear not be a giant tool of the enemy to keep us from making an impact on this world?
Well, let's take the word fear. There's a very interesting scripture that says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
But I don't fear the Lord. I do fear the Lord, but that's not who I'm afraid of here.
Okay.
As an American, Americans are not afraid of God. They are afraid of the person next to them who has a different skin color and an accent.
Yes.
So the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Yes. So if you're fearing God, you would have no fear of this man with the skin and the accent.
Well, but God's ultimately, that's true. That if we are putting ourselves in God's hands, then we would have no fear. But the fear is not necessarily that nothing will happen to us in the short term. Something could happen to us in the short term. Our long term, and if you want to look at it as a percentage of the totality of the existence, it's very minuscule. Our whole life of 75, 80, whatever it is, years, is very small compared to eternity. Mm-hmm. But the fear of God is, it's what Scripture says, is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, we understand the power and the strength of God. But now, I'm not trying to make this a perfectly parallel situation, but when you sit down next to someone that looks like a Mideasterner, and especially if they're wearing a turban, what would you think? Would you feel just as comfortable as if you sat down next to someone who was carrying a Coleman, Alabama yearbook from 1969? Would you feel the same?
It's possible I'm deceiving myself, but I think so. Because the guy from Coleman can be just as dangerous as the man with the turban.
What's the probability of that happening, though?
Well, I think it's about the same.
Hmm.
That's you say hmm, because you don't think I really feel this way, because I really do. Or hmm,
no, I'm trying to figure out what Coleman's like. Given what you're
saying. I've only been through Coleman. I picked Coleman because it's a small town in Alabama. I'm not from Coleman.
I thought you were from Coleman, Alabama.
No, as a matter of fact, I don't think there will be a whole lot of internationals living in Coleman, even today. So,
well, international
that's
means
just what
from,
I hear.
In Coleman, international means from Mississippi or Tennessee or Arkansas. Right?
But I'd be open to sitting next to anybody, and I think I would be in equal danger because humans are humans. And in the United States, you may sit next to somebody who looks just, you know, as who you can sit next to a 17-year-old blonde girl who's just as cute as can be, and she could be completely insane. And she may do something stupid. So how?
Let me ask you a question. How many people from the United States, the entirety of the United States, do you think are willing to strap a bomb to themselves and give up their life to take your life because of an ideological belief that is what God wants them to do? They will be going to heaven and there'll be 21 virgins. And I'll tell you another thing. I ask a question, but hold that question. Some of the young bombers, some of the young ones who are strapping bombs to themselves are being told by their handlers, you don't have to worry about dying yourself because these bombs are set up to where the bomb goes out. It doesn't go in. So it won't hurt you. It'll simply hurt the people around you. That's what we're facing. And so if someone's willing to give up their life to take your life, then the ability to protect yourself against that is significantly less than if you're dealing with someone who has a different, more Western worldview. They're going to protect themselves. They don't want to lose their own life.
Well, my first reaction is to your question about how many Americans are willing to strap a bomb to their body to go and kill you. And my feeling is it's less than 1%. But I think that when you talk about people that are here illegally, I think that it is also less than 1%. I don't think everybody comes to the United States to kill people. I don't mind that they're here. I do mind that they are here illegally. I don't want illegals here. Some of them are fabulous, wonderful people. And if they are fabulous, wonderful people, as I know them to be, we need to come up with a system to help them go through the steps of becoming a citizen.
Listen, this guy that is now laying in a hospital bed is a citizen. He did exactly that. He's here legally. That's the big issue over Mirandizing him right now, because he did everything. He came here, he studied, he became a citizen, he's in college. All of the things that you say are okay. But his ideology at the core is to take out Americans. He told the guy that he stole the car from, the only reason we're not going to kill you is that you are not American.
Well, so does that mean that you think that all the kids that are here legally on student visas or whatever, or that they're also dangerous and we need to get rid of them? Or what do you think we need to do to protect ourselves and to go about, how can we get to a place where we can go about our lives.
Well, first off, do you agree with what I said, that here we as someone who went through all those things, and they're still at, we're still at risk of them.
And so is the guy in Cullman who, or, and I'm sorry if I'm talking to someone who's from Cullman. I'm just picking that city. It could be anywhere. Okay, Smithville, USA. So is that guy, the guy who was born and raised there, and his great-great-great-granddaddy was born and raised there.
But how many of those people turn Muslim, Islamic jihadist? How many of those people are, well, are most of those that are Islamic, Muslim, jihadist? They may be handled and become radical while they're here, and there's every reason to believe that these two boys were in that situation. But there are very few. The only one I can think of was that intellectual up north who was a U.S.-born citizen. He did go to a foreign country to do training, and he came back, and he's now in jail for life. And I can't remember the exact nature of the situation, but it was about 8 or 9 or 10 years ago. But if you're looking at statistics and probabilities, then I think it's just we're dead on. This is a Muslim jihadist issue, and they are being radicalized either here or in foreign countries. And we've got to find, number one, a way to profile that and stop it. And we've got to have the willingness to stop it. There are many foreign countries that won't let Muslims in. They won't let Muslims be involved in their country. Kick them out. Australia, there's one.
Now, Australia won't allow Muslims to come in?
Yeah, they profile them. Do we want to do that? I'm not sure, but I can tell you one thing. I'm more inclined to do that today than I ever was.
Well, I wouldn't pick just Muslims. These two guys that are the brothers that are the Boston stuff is being pinned on them, or rightfully they did these things. Those guys are from Russia.
But they're Muslims. Listen, Chechnya. That is one of the most dangerous Muslim-influenced terroristic groups that exist. You don't have to be Mideastern to be Muslim. You can go all over the world, and there are radical Muslims in all of these countries. I mean, go to Great Britain, go anywhere in Western Europe today, Eastern Europe also, and you find exactly that. That's the big, it's one of the big dangers that we're seeing around the world.
Okay, in the last minutes of the show here, because we just have a couple of minutes, what do you think we need to do? Do you think this is something that individuals can do, or do we need to look to our government to tighten things up and change things?
We're urinating in the wind if we're going to look to our government to change anything. We've got a government today that's just deadlocked. I think they all ought to go home and sit in an easy chair. We'd be better off as a nation if they just get out of town.
I think you're right. That's why I think that I can boldly go about my life, and I just don't even really pay that much attention, except I am aware. I'm more aware than I used to be, but I'm certainly not going to live in fear.
No, but you're not living on probability. You're living on probability. You don't have to live in fear. But what we have seen is that attacks like this have increased multiple fold. I don't know what the number is. Let's say that they are now, let's just use numbers, and this is probably too high. It's now 1%, whereas it used to be 0.1%. What if it goes to 5%, if it goes to 10%, if it goes to 15%? If you have one of these every month as opposed to one every 10 years, you see that the trend, I believe the trend is in the direction of more and more problems. And if you have somebody who's willing to give their life for yours, and you have small cells like probably this one was, maybe there's 2, 5, 10 people, who knows. They're now saying that the older guy's wife might be involved. They're looking into that. They were living with three other people somewhere outside of Boston at one point in time. They're now looking at them. So this is not just these two guys. I mean, they've been radicalized in some way, and they've had help in doing some of these things. And so I don't see that this is going to, on its own, get any smaller. And I don't see that our government's going to do a great deal to stop it.
Well, I look at it this way. I think that the problems are issues of the heart rather than issues of the law, because the law is not going to change anything. So these are all heart issues, and as Christians and as believers, we need to pray for those. And since this younger brother wasn't killed, we need to pray that somebody would rise up around him, that God would bring someone into his realm of possibility and open his eyes and change his heart. And that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of issues of the heart, not issues of the law. The law doesn't change anything for me. And I haven't seen our government do much, and they're the ones that handle the law. But you know what? This is our 98th broadcast, Crash.
Yep.
And I want to remind people that 100 is coming around the corner, and I think we're going to have some fun stuff. So hang with us. And this has been an enlightening again visit with you today, and I appreciate the time that you spend with me each week, Crash.
Oh, listen, I enjoy very much. I'm often wrong, never in doubt, though.
BigBrainsMedia.com, and look at other shows that are there. If you can't find anything there, then give us an email or something and tell us what you'd like to hear. Tell us what kind of a show you'd like to have. So BigBrainsMedia.com is a wonderful site, and I appreciate their belief in us. And Crash, I appreciate your belief in me, because you answer the phone whenever I call.
You know, as we were talking before we started, I remember very distinctly the Saturday morning some years ago when you and I had a first conversation about Just Talking It Up. And I can honestly say it really has been one of the neatest experiences in my life to be able to do this. For me personally, I think for us, and I hope that there are people out there who have enjoyed some of the things that we've talked about. You don't necessarily have to agree with us. You and I didn't agree today on a lot of things, but it's challenging, and iron sharpens iron, or in our case, maybe balsa wood sharpens balsa wood. I'm not sure. But it is fun, and I enjoy talking to people who can engage and debate issues like this. And I hopefully it makes both of us better, and both of us think more deeply about what reality is.
I think so. It sure has been a joy for me too. But anyway, we come back and listen to us on our 100th episode. And until then, be safe, Crash. Stay in your bunker. Don't let any strangers in. And I'm going to the park, so have a great week, and I'll talk to you next time.
Are you taking your gun with you?
Bye.
To send an email to Janet or Crash, the address is feedback@justtalkingitup.com.